Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, we're at Tuesday night, and I remember, Tuesday night, which means it's ABCs of Apostleship Night, Discipling Apostolic Christians. For those of you who don't know, we started this journey. Ooh, my goodness, I'm not even going to try to figure out when we started the journey because it's been a few months now. We've grown, a ton of things have happened, and it's all based on this wonderful book called The ABCs of Apostleship, Discipling Apostolic Christians, Book 2, which is all about you. I always think of it like that. Book 2, all about you. All about you, your Christianity, all about what Jesus had in mind when he incarnated. So it started here. If you don't have your copy of this book, heck, you must get one because this is a great, great, great book. And so I wrote it so we can go back because tonight is Q&A night. So while I'm talking, write your questions out because I am going to answer questions about ABCs of apostleship, about apostleship in general, about discipling apostolic Christians, becoming an apostolic Christian, knowing what to do now that you have become an apostolic Christian. All of these are questions that you've asked me. And where do you go now that this is happening? How about this? Where is God going with this? What is it all about? Wouldn't you like to know? I'd like to share that with you. So while you're writing your questions, we're going to do the rest of our other things. First of all, tonight, I'll say it early. Hi, kids. I was so excited, Ashley. Some of my kids came to the women's weekend. It was amazing to see the young ones there. Wait a minute, but they were smart girls. I mean, we had some smart girls there talking about it. How old was the youngest one? Do you know?
Eight.
The youngest one was eight, and then we had a really savvy 12-year-old. I don't know if I've met a 12-year-old that savvy in a long time. Brilliant young girl, knowing she has a future, and really was very animated, very involved. Why am I saying this? Because you know what, moms? It seems too late. 35, whew, well, hallelujah. And so they were very animated, so I want to say to my young ones that came, thank you, I enjoyed you, I enjoyed your fellowship, I enjoyed your input. It was great. I also want to thank all of the women who showed up. We had a very good showing, considering we only made up our mind to do it about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We had a wonderful showing. God met, and Ashley's going to tell you later about when you can get a hold of it because she's working feverishly to get it ready for you in a webinar online because we knew that some of you just had to work. You couldn't make it. Others are out of the country. How are you going to get it? So listening to that, we're going to have it online. She'll tell you a little later about it and some other things because we're going to give her a commercial break. Wow. And about some other things that we have going on, other webinars, the intercession webinar. I think that's already up, isn't it, or not?
Yes.
Okay. The intercession webinar and what we're planning to do in the future. So just stay with us. But for now, let everybody know we're on. Share and share and go and share some more. And then after that, share some more. Just hit your entire contact list and say, everybody deserves to hear this or to be involved because we're going to talk to it. If you know anyone who's an apostle, prophet, five-folder, let them know we're answering questions tonight. This is not tonight. It's not a teaching night per se. Some of it is teachable stuff. But tonight we're answering your questions. We're addressing your concerns and your curiosities. And so this is how it's going to go. You're going to post your question. And they're going to write them down and read them to me so that I can answer them. Do not know how many we're going to get in, but we'll go for as many as we can. Again, we're on Apostolic Christian, Apostleship, etc. Thursday is prophetic. That's how we're closing out this year. Tonight is Q&A for the Apostolic Christian, and whatever else comes in that vein. So, you know, because I know some of you guys, I say Q&A and you're going to ask me why your toe went left in the womb or something. And I'm going to have to pull back on some of that just to focus us. And then Thursday night, prophetic. So if you are a prophetic trainer, educator, teacher, if you are a prophet in the making, dreamer of dreams, singer, psalmist, seer, if you are any of those, and prophetic is the adjective in front of it.
Very good.
Have to say it. Thursday night is it, prophetic ed. Have your class on. If you want to do a wonderful, give them a wonderful laugh, a Thursday night is it. I'll do the work. You can take the evening off, although some of you probably have already because it is the end of the year. But if that's the case, you know, check in with me on Prophetic Ed Thursday night, 8 p.m. We'll do your questions. But tonight we're doing questions on ABCs of Apostleship. And if you haven't gotten this book, go to my website, drpaulaprice.com, and get your copy. Because you need it. And I tell you, you know, when I first started doing this, actually, everybody was telling me, I mean, everybody, I don't know who wasn't telling me. It was easier to have, that was a shorter list. Apostleship wasn't going to work. People were not going to do it. The members in the church didn't want it. Congregations didn't want it. Pastors didn't want to hear about it. The people in the pew could care less. And we have proved them wrong this year, this 2016. We have proved them wrong. And what we found out is that we needed to focus on who has to take it to the world. We may bring it to you through the media, through the pulpit, through the church, but you must take it to the world. And you've done a phenomenal job of doing so. So we're going to do that. Well, is there anything else on any other housekeeping I need to do right now, Ashley?
Well, Facebook has let me know that this is your 50th broadcast.
No kidding.
Yes.
Yay for Facebook. Jubilee. That's the Jubilee number. Yay.
Well, that is glorious. And, you know, even speaking about broadcasting on apostleship, I think part of the reason there's always opposition is because people don't understand, and very few people stick with it long enough to break the people through.
Mm.
And you plowing through is hard rock.
Yeah.
Well, he is the rock of apostleship is really paying off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's a lot to be said for sticking to the word of God that he has given you and not being one of those people who said, you know, in that high moment of prayer, this is what God said to do. And the minute we have to actually work for it, well, let's see how we can change it to make it easier to make it happen. So I'm proud of you for that.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that, Ashley, because, you know, one of the things that we have got to teach people to do is to recognize that God really meant it when he said, despise not the day of small beginnings. Things start small. Babies start small. They start as seeds and eggs and embryos and move into the adults that we are today. And it takes time. Now, I will admit that not everybody is cut out for pioneering. You know, being a catalyst, groundbreaker, that's hard. That is very hard because you're saying that the present is passing away and people are still enjoying it. And that doesn't always make you everyone's friend. But as God is faithful to his word, you do finish. We've had it. You know, we've had people tell me, I'm telling you, if you change this, it'll go. And what I found out is that you were more ready for to understand apostolic Christianity than even I imagined. You were more ready because you would, listen, think about all of the classes you've had on all of the things that you've studied, and over and over again, we were hearing that people are bored, they're frustrated, they're disappointed, they feel malnourished, they feel confused, they don't even know if they want their salvation, they'd rather be anywhere but in church. And, you know, humans hear that like, oh, wow, the church is failing. God doesn't hear it like that. God hears, oh, they're ready for change. Okay, gear up. Okay, cue the next thing. And God hears that when that kind of uniform and unified sound ascends to heaven, God takes it as a prayer for the new thing to start. And so you've been saying it for, I don't know, 15, 20 years. I know I've been hearing it for about that long. And so you've been saying it, and God finally answered our prayers, and he raised me up. Now, think about it. When you're a pioneer, and I'm talking to a specific person or group of people tonight, when you're called to be a pioneer, it's like the kid that has to that got accepted in the gifted program. You can't go outside and play. You can't hang with the kids. You got to read the books. You got to do homework, and you really kind of want to, but the fact that it is all that you do does weigh on you from time to time. And so I had to keep looking and plowing and everything for me to be able to say boldly tonight, Q&A night, unintimidated, unconcerned, knowing that I'm equipped. And I'm equipped to answer your questions. Why? Because that is what I'm called to do and put my heart and soul and my life in for all these years. So we're going to have a blast tonight. And I want to say to all of you who've been joining me, and there are, and truly, we can honestly say there are tens of thousands of you. Man, that still surprises me. You know, I know it surprises you, Ashley. You know.
I'm excited. I knew they were out there.
You did.
Waiting for you.
But, you know, you surprised me, and pleasantly so, because, you know, I knew God said my people are brilliant, my people are smart, my people are ready, they're hungry, they're astute and sharp, you know, and you proved it. You got this thing and ran with it. Now we need to find out where we're going next, which is what we do every month in our lunch call. Don't miss that. We've gotten so many of your forms back for the Apostolic Christian Come Home campaign. We've gotten, so many of them. Hey, continue to do that. If you want to know more about that, again, website, DrPaulAPrice.com. So now, before we get into the questions, what's next?
Roll call.
Yes, I want to know who's out there, don't you?
Okay.
You know what? You just can't help it, can you?
You can be a snap.
Yeah, this is true.
You get me. All right, Bossier City, Louisiana.
Hi.
Always checking in.
Yes.
Gainesville, Florida. And the children sent lots of hugs and hearts.
Hi, girl.
Atlanta, Miami, Florida. Prophetess Liz on the line. Tonight.
Is she real? Yeah. Well, you know she got her questions because her questions are always so intriguing. I'm glad.
Ratcliffe, Kentucky.
Yes.
Seattle, Washington.
Who?
The Brown. We go call
boom.
Them the Brown.
We call them the Bone Brown.
They were both here in November.
Yes, and then she was
and
back last
for her birthday present.
Yes.
The apostle sent her back for the women's conference that we just had.
And it was amazing.
And I got to talk to him on the phone for a hot second afterwards, and he's like, I know this is good because my wife can hardly even explain what happened. So the Brown, Trinidad.
Hey, hi, Trinidad.
New Jersey.
Home base.
Hartford, the apostle's house, you know, is checking in.
Oh, yes.
Clarksville, Tennessee.
Yes.
Fontana, California. Richmond, Virginia. Let's see, Indianapolis.
Ooh.
Paula, Alabama. Palmetto, Florida. Mount Vernon, New York. Portland, Oregon. Rachel, what's up? This year in November.
Is that all right,
Rachel?
Yeah. Is that my songbird?
Yeah.
Haley's the songbird. Hi, Rachel.
Yes, they go together.
They do. They like a team for us.
Eastern Pennsylvania,
ooh.
Hagersville, Maryland, New Jersey, Orlando, Bowie, Maryland, Trinidad over here, Columbia, South Carolina, Milwaukee, Virginia, California, Raleigh, North Carolina, Ontario, Canada, Chattanooga, Tennessee, we have Monroe, Louisiana, Panama City, Ontario again, Atlanta, Georgia.
Ontario, Canada or California?
Canada.
Hello, Hi, Canada. You know, I'm praying for Canada, you know. God has me with an interesting burden for you. Grand Rapids, Michigan, yes.
We have Chicago.
Checking in.
Charlotte, North Carolina. Arlington Heights, Illinois. Bahamas, Jacksonville, Florida.
I got two islands.
Wait. Hold on.
Bahamas.
Yeah, Beaumont, Texas. Sumter, South Carolina. Harlem.
Yes.
New York City.
Hi,
Memphis.
Hi, Memphis.
Johnson City, Tennessee.
Oh, that's new. Not heard of that. I love hearing that to see how far and wide we're going and how much God is blessing us. I thank you all for joining me tonight. It's going to be great. Well, Prophet Ashley, who starts with the question? Do we have any?
I have some Facebook questions.
Oh, so Facebook has already got that question. So does Periscope have? prophesying the coming of the Messiah was fulfilled when Jesus showed up in the planet, which means they had to be recommissioned, as did the first apostles. So if you have a call to apostleship, God will tell you. He will tell you in the beginning very abstractly. Then he will tell you indirectly when he's ready to act on that calling. He will tell you directly. So he's not going to miss that. Now, other ones, the Holy Spirit will tell you different things. The Holy Spirit will tell you various stuff, but not apostles. That office is too important to God, and it's the only one that still will go past our days on earth.
You should write a book.
Oh, another one?
All right.
Periscope.
What do the functions of the apostles look like in government?
Well, that's really easy. That's an easy question to answer because apostleship started in government. So it looks like what we read. Because remember, when Jesus introduced apostleship and he called the first apostles, there was no church. And that's what people keep missing. We keep thinking that it's very different. The first apostles were called under the Mosaic law to a nation, which is why Jesus spoke so much about kingdom, so much about order, so much about behaving in his kingdom and in his realm. So that's the first thing. The second thing is understanding what the Apostle Paul did. He structured the ecclesia as a nation because in God's mind and in his world, it was a nation. So, and if you have a follow-up question for that, I'll answer it. Facebook.
Okay. Chris wants to know, this is your Chris.
My Chris.
Okay, what are the major signs that indicate a leader who's transitioning to apostleship should step away from pastoring?
Oh, well, first of all, I know that there's a canned answer for that, you know, apostles shouldn't pastor, but let's be real, the first apostles pastored. No, because they birthed the church. There were no apostolic pastors. There were no pastors from their message as yet. So let me say that that's not an automatic response. Some pastors are called to be apostolic pastors. They do need to go to find a place of training, a place of development. They do need to do what Paul did, spend some time with a group of apostles so that they can make that inward transition or that inward shift happens in their outward lives. So that's the first thing. Then from there, you're talking about the fulfillment of the commission. Let's say most pastors, we start church because we want to help people. We start church because we want to do things for folks. Apostles want to do all of that for Jesus. They want to do it for Jesus. Their heart, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ are committed to his duties, his responsibility, his calling, right on down to going past preaching the gospel to every creature, to discipling nations if that's their calling, or discipling spheres. Because sometimes, now that the church has populated the planet, sometimes you're called to a particular sphere of humanity or society. So, but there is the whole shifting of wanting your not being comfortable with your people just knowing the Lord and sitting in the pew. You want them to grow. You want them to be mature. You want them to reach higher. You want them to take on more challenging things. That's why not every church can be an apostolic church, because an apostolic church is a little bit pressure. It really is, actually, you know, because that apostle reach it has elevated and has extended. And so people who just want to come to church and just let life happen and enjoy the Lord and wait until they die or he comes, that's not for an apostolic church. Apostolic church has got, first of all, it wants to rule. It wants dominion. The whole thing, that's the mindset of the people who join it. They are like, oh no, we're supposed to do this. No, this is ours. So all of that means that pastor, if that pastor is going to step into the office, pulling away is to take on that governmental and kingdom mind of Jesus' commission. Periscope.
Dr. Price, what is the difference between the assignment of an apostle versus that of the prophet?
Well, an apostle doesn't have an assignment, they have a commission. Which means they're not just sent to say something, they're sent to bring something into existence, to recover something that's been gone, or lost, or to reestablish something that once was. So establishment, creation, and existence and restoration are all for the apostle. The prophet is sent as a divine communicant to declare and utter God's word, and to, in an ideal way, to partner with an apostle whose commission message that prophet disseminates in the world and then watches over to ensure that it produces and it's secure and it is protected. Facebook?
Huh.
You know, Facebook.
And there are some good prophetic questions. People tune in on Thursday and ask this question now. Good question for Thursday. Okay. CJ, hold on, let me open this up, wants to know, what are some apostolic models that you would suggest for research purposes where that apostolic model equips the church to control the impact of economy, education, and spirituality in the community and territory?
Are we talking apostolic models contemporary or biblical? Well, CJ, answer me, and then I will answer you.
That'll take a second.
That's okay.
Okay, so in other news, this question is, when you said when you said when an apostle is called, their angelic guard will change, will they know their angelic guard has changed? And how does that look?
Well, thank you for that question. You know, Ashley, we have had so much mysticism taught as the mysteries of Christ that we don't realize Christ might be a mystery, but he is not mythical. In other words, God says, I would not have you ignorant. That is his word. Ignorance is not of God, so God doesn't have you do things blindly unless your mind is not susceptible to what he is sending you to do, at which point he leads you by his spirit. If you're called to do anything for the Lord, you know it. God is not going to sit there and say, okay, figure me out. Hey, figure me out. Okay, I'm over here. What did I say? Okay, I'm over here. All right, did you see that blue streak in the sky? What does that mean? That is not God. God talks to you plainly, and he talks to real apostles plainly. He said that in Numbers 12. Moses, a type of Old Testament apostle, he talked to Moses. He said, I've talked to prophets and visions and dreams, but not so with my servant Moses. I speak to him face to face. So if God is not communing with you on that level, the call may be real, but the appointment and installation are still a way off. Periscope.
What is an end times prophet?
Huh. That's interesting. You know, in my mind, all prophets are end times, you know, because all prophets are about time. You know, the Old Testament prophets were all about bringing that time, or the B.C. time of earth and humanity to an end. And so an end time prophet, I mean, I'm saying that in a broad sense, but to get more specific, if that is your classification, then you are fascinated with end-time events. You're fascinated with the prophecies about that. And the book of Revelation, for example, jumps out at you. Zechariah speaks to you differently. So you're very much consumed with that. The problem with end-time prophets, if that's where you specialize, is that you need someone to balance that, because you will call every calamity an end time event, or every mysterious thing is going to bring the world to an end, you know. And so you have to be very careful. That prophet has to be a very, very high prophet who has the capacity of listening to God and being able to discern timing even without a clock or a calendar. Because many of us, that's why we had so many people say, you know, the sky is falling, or the world's going to end in September and all of that, because you look at these events and you just take them in isolated package instead of looking at them in the scheme of all that the end time prophecies and the end time word of God said would happen. You know, like people often say, well, you know, I just think that you know, like, hey, Ashley, we'll take this, Norman. You know, I just think that we're right in the middle of the tribulation. Well, we could be. I won't argue with that. But my Bible says that it gets ugly, that there are several degrees and stages of tribulation, and that it doesn't get really ugly until we go, and we leave kind of halfway through the first wave, because everything God does to change the world, according to Revelation, is preceded by an earthquake. That's just a piece of end-time intel that we should know. That's a regulator. That's an evaluator. So anyway, that's just one of my examples on that. Hope I answered your question for you.
You answered it to somebody on Facebook. End time intel. That sounds like a show.
Yeah, end time intel.
End time intel. Oh,
it's Facebook term.
Okay. On the subject of discernment, how does one discern between man's timing and God's timing?
Well, first of all, man's timing is about the calendar. It's in the 24/7 window of the natural world. God's timing is in seasons and has to do with the elements and all of that, which is why, you know, a lot of people, here's something that's very interesting. You know, for example, we have this whole thing with the blood moon and then the red moon and then all of the other stuff. And they used, what they used for that, they went all the way back in time. But when Jesus established the church and sent the Holy Ghost, he broke BC time and he established AD time, because the powers that kept BC time going were arrested by him and were literally subjected to him. So now, looking for time, because the Bible said angels and principalities and powers are subject to him. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore. Jesus changed the clock. And he changed time. Time moved very slowly back then, and now it's racing because God is literally speeding it up, bringing us into what he wants. Now, and I say this because this is very important. One of the reasons why when people ask me that, I say, no, I'm not going with that, because either Jesus changed time or he didn't. And if he changed time, then we stopped going counting, you know, down. We started counting up. There's a reason why they did that. And there's something that those apostles and those writers of scriptures knew and lived, watching the stars and watching the cosmos to arrive at that decision. You know, when they went through the whole Mayan calendar thing, I knew that was going to be a hoax because, well, Jesus changed time. So I don't care how much people in the flesh deny it, he did. Now, having said that, discernment has got to be based on not just on instinct. It's got to be based on observation. It's got to be based on research and investigation. It's got to be based on some sort of foundation. In other words, there has to be a baseline, something that you're going by. Now, God said, when you see certain things happen, know that your time is near. Then Jesus said, if you see other things happening, know that the time is not near, but these are the birth things that are getting ready to set the time in motion. So I will tell you right now, you have got to eat that word, and you've got to eat it under the auspices of the Holy Spirit, and you've got to do it whether or not you hear folks saying it or not. You've got to study it. It has to be studied. A lot of my filters come from all of those years. I mean, literally, sometimes day and night years of eating God's word and reading what he says. You know, when you say, you know, when you hear the people say, like they have this whole thing, well, you know, there's a lot of Christ, and we're all the Christ. Jesus is coming because some guy is doing something, whatever. No, Jesus gave us a whole package of signs, not a single indicator, but a package of signs. It's kind of like saying, you know, the way we want to do it is like, it's like having a full production with a monologue. You know, I could listen to you for about 30 minutes, maybe even about 45, but after a while, I'm going to need you to end, because I'm going to need something to answer you, something to say why I'm listening to you drone on. And so signs are like that. Single incidents do not fulfill prophecy. Prophecy always comes as a complex of events that have been rolling and assembling and galvanizing for a very long time. It's kind of like we always say, you know, wow, we have a volcano. No, that volcano has been working for a long time trying to get there. Wow, we have a tornado. No, that thing was moving. They tried just, you know, 3 weeks in advance, something is gathering over here. That's a fulfillment of time. That tells you how God works. Hallelujah. Periscope?
Sir Christ, are all apostles prophets?
Everything I read about the apostles in the Bible, they were all prophets, especially the ones that God used, you know? They were all prophetic because they all knew Jesus Christ by the writings of the prophets. They all understood that Jesus Christ was doing, was the Messiah because of what was written. They all were trained by the same prophet, John the Baptist, who trained the entire region for the coming of the Messiah. So, yeah, because being a prophet means being able to say what God says. First of all God's people have the potential to be prophetic, not prophets, but prophetic, because God talks to everybody, and he talks to his people. So I think it's unfortunate when you hear apostles say, well, no, prophets aren't prophetic. No, you just don't want to sit and listen. That's it. I mean, I love you dearly. We're all sweet and whatever, but bottom line, you don't want to sit and listen. But you can say, well, you know, God tells me things now and again. No, because if that's the case, then you can't teach the prophetic writings, you can't teach the book of Revelation, you can't teach about the coming of the Lord, because all of those are prophetic subjects.
And there it is. Okay. Can your leaders see the call of apostleship on your life?
Some of them can, some of them can't. Some of them do. Some leaders do see it and won't tell you if they don't think that you will respond to what they see responsibly. If they feel that you're going to automatically jump off, you know, and start telling them that you're above them, or you're going to leave and go start a church and start a work or something like that, then they will withhold that information for prudence sake. So whether or not they tell you has to do with a couple of things. Number one, your maturity. Number two, their maturity. And number three, your relationship. And number four, their knowledge of you spiritually and emotionally.
Yeah. How does one know when to transition from prophet to apostle?
Well, one does not transition. That's not an independent thing. You know, we have got to stop teaching the church that the fivefold has, an escalating program. You know, it's not. You know, there is not an automatic promotion in being a fivefold. Some people are called to be a prophet for as long as they serve God. That's number one. Number two, my personal hot button is the apostolic prophet thing. Many people are made apostles that should never have been made apostles. They were apostolic prophets. And because they were apostolic prophets, they were the Silas sort, the sort that could work with Paul. You know, or the Timothy sort, if you will, and I'm using that as an example. But the step between prophet and apostle is apostolic prophet. And an apostolic prophet is that prophet that is, let's go back to that first earlier question, that is very prophetic, but is also very apocalyptic in those prophecies, and very didactic into teaching, into learning, and also extremely revelatory, you know, because that's just the nature of it. Because that apostle needs someone who understands what he or she brings into existence and can pass that understanding on to others. So let me just wrap this up, that question up in this. The fivefold is not an upward bound program. So we need to get real clear on that. It is not an upward bound program. The threefold, not an upward bound program. Just because God started you out as evangelist or he starts you as a prophet doesn't mean that he's going to use you as a prophet, as an apostle. I'm so convinced of this because I've examined it over the years in our assessment. When people, I can tell you that there are people who take it and they come up as a potential apostle. The assessment will locate that. And then others will come up emphatically as an apostolic prophet, will not come anywhere near the apostle's office, will land in that. The others in the assessment will come up as prophet. And especially when we have people come to us and say, well, so-and-so made me an apostle or said I'm an apostle, we go to our assessment, I look at it, and the thing never even registers anything close to an apostle, a pure, flat-footed prophet. Or whatever other office that it identifies. Now, I'm telling you that because those of you who are just love telling people, I see the office of the apostle, a mantle of the apostle landing on you, just because people do a couple of things that you recognize to be consistent with the apostolic, that's hasty. That's very hasty. So the first thing I want to do is weed out that you're not an apostolic prophet, because if I put you in that apostle's office too soon, the vetting process of the light and the darkness is going to slaughter your life, because every apostle has got to have their life slaughtered. Everyone. Every apostle. Every prophet. But not to that extent. Every apostle. That's why those people, I can't even talk to you about how many people were put into the apostle's office, lose the job, lose the home, kids go crazy, get sick, money go, car go, family dies. You can't, I mean, it is a slaughter, because that's the nature of it. Go sell what you have and follow me. That's the nature of apostleship. What Peter said, Lord, we've left all to follow you. Now what are we going to have? So before honor is humility. And so for those of you who are apostles out there, do not be all excited and too quick to put these people in that office, because you need to know if their life can sustain the vetting. Because if not, they're going to back out of that office, which is going to be a double problem for them in the spirit. Okay. Facebook.
Please give them the website where they can take the assessment and find it.
DrPaulaAPrice.com. And I'm telling you, you will love it, but it will tell you, and I'll tell you what else it says. It tells us how ready you are, because the church, I mean, our vetting process as the church is embarrassing. We do not care about putting prophets in power over you who have a 50-50 success ratio. Half on, half on. But the assessment will tell you that. It will tell you this person will be a 2 out of 5, you know, which means 2 out of 5 times you can rely on. The other 3 times, it's going off. All right? So you will like that. It also will tell you the kind of training is for you and numerous other things.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, that's DrPaulaAPrice.com. I'm sure Prophet Ashley can speak to it. She's one of the advisors and evaluators for how many years?
I think 8.
8 years. Right. You've been doing that 8 years. That's amazing.
And you know what? It never gets old. I mean, in dealing, I feel, you know, like counselors and doctors and people in those kind of professions, every client is new, every person is different, even though the human body has the same basic parts, it's still very different. I've had some of the most dynamic post-assessment advisors these last couple of weeks. Yes, the explanations are just amazing. And everybody who has taken it is testifying.
Good.
And those who are going to have their assessment or our advisement are also excited. Okay. Next question from Facebook. Reginald wants to know, how long before the commissioning of an apostle, and is it different for everyone?
I will not say that it emphatically that it's different for everyone. It's kind of like, you know, God has patterns just like we have, and he has systems in place just like we have, you know. So different universities may have graduation and degree granting under different ways, or different jobs may certify you or credential you in different ways, but there are some fundamental things that are universal across the board. So that's the first thing. You know, I would love, if the Lord would grant my prayer, Reginald, I would love for the church to stop thinking it's exempt, that we're some sort of anomaly on the planet that's exempt for prudence and weights and measures and all of those kinds of things. So having said that, there are people, my commissioning was, 12 years? Yeah, about 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it took that long for me to answer those 12 questions, glory to Jesus. Anyway, mine was 12 years. Now, I did various things, but again, you have to allow the time for the vetting, which is anywhere from 3 to 5 years. That's going to happen. God is going to test you. He doesn't care that the person who laid hands on you is gone, that the person who laid hands on you was a stranger that ran through the room, slapped you with some oil, called you an apostle and left. God doesn't care. He's going to vet you. He's going to See, what did he say? He vetted Peter after he trained him. Okay, Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. Okay, so Peter had to go through that. And then after all of that, the first thing they did, or the first thing on the job, what did they get, Ashley? Beaten. The first day on the job, they got beaten. Because the Jews and the status quo is just the status quo. But the status quo did not like them, did not like them coming after them, and they got beaten. So God needs to know, what are you going to do when the fiery trials come? What are you going to do when the enemy strikes back? What are you going to do when family doesn't want you to do it? So God has to make sure that his word doesn't return to him void. So we commission in a moment. And a lot of those commissions, when people tell me, I just looked down and turned my head, and I said, oh, if you knew what you were doing to these people, you would cancel that. Okay? But I don't, because, you know, folks believe they're right, and that's just what you do. God's not deluded. He's got to prove to the world that you have staying power, that you have fidelity, that you have determination, that you have resilience, that you can bounce back, that you're going to make sense, that you're not, and also that you cannot be bought or sold. Because a lot of apostles, because they never found out what this thing was all about, what this office was all about, they fell prey to a stronger voice or a stronger man, a woman in the spirit. And before you know it, they're saying stuff that doesn't even sound apostolic, or they're going back to teaching their other belief system and their other values and doctrines because it's safer, because it hurts. It hurts, and we don't tell you that. And if there are any apostles listening to me tonight or any prophets out there who have moved from the prophet to the apostle, I want you to post what I'm saying as the truth if that's what you found out. I want to hear from you because I'm telling you, God vets that office. There are seven angels over the churches, seven apostolic angels who have got to prove who is and who is not on God's side. They are going to do the job. Now, how do you do it? Well, we don't go to school, so they have to take us to the school of life. And they have to school us through life. So that's why I don't do a hasty commissioning. And when we do the training and the people start feeling the little tens, they're like, I can wait. I'm okay. I can wait, you know. So if you're one of those that somebody hastily threw you in that office or they come running up to you, hurry up, you better make sure your life is ready to go through the process because a lot of what's going to happen to you within a month or two after that, before that year is out, is going to turn your life upside down. And the reason it has to happen so that God can make you right side up so that you have the power to turn your world upside down and right side up for him.
What defines a prophetic intercessor?
An intercessor who goes beyond everyday normal prayer, who does engage in spiritual warfare, etc., but whose fruit and whose effects are largely prophetic. That means predictive or interpretive or revelatory.
Okay.
Did you like that?
I did. All
right.
Is there such a thing as apostles who are specifically called to a sphere of influence based on what they particularly master in? For example, an apostle of music or apostle of administration, etc.
Okay. Well, you know, help me, God. Whew, Jesus. I don't know about apostles of that in the classic sense of the word. I do know the scripture talks about apostles that are sent out to the nations, apostles of the kingdom of God, and apostles to the churches. I do know that. Now, within that church context, I'm not entirely sure that people can't do that. But the whole essence of apostleship is to take a message from the throne of God, from the throne of Jesus Christ, to the nations and to the nations of the world. And so I was one that kind of bought into that because somebody told me that's what it was. But I kind of today look at that as having the pastors over the broom closet, pastors over the drum machine, pastors over the linen closet and all of that. You know, those things are support systems. Music is a support. An apostle is a catalyst, okay? Administration is a support. An apostle is a diplomat, an ambassadorial person. So if God summons you to apostleship, then he's not going to summon you to music, even if that's your instrument. Now, all of those, I feel like those are all supports. And we have got to start defining a support from a principle. Because the principal function is that we go and take the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, with accompanying signs and wonders following. So I don't know how you can do that with music. I know what the Holy Spirit can do. But with you, I don't know how you can do the two. That's just where we are. So I'm not inclined to, I mean, I am reversing myself on a couple of times going back about 12 or so years, maybe 15 years. Because God began to tell me, but those are support. Those are support functions. So I'm going to have to kind of go with the Holy Ghost on that. Love to hear y'all feedback. And understand something. Just because God does things in response to what we are, or just because we have the ability to do it, doesn't mean that God approves or appoints it.
Should one be, an apostle elect before being an apostle?
I don't know what an apostle elect is, okay? I know they have a thing called bishop elect, but if I'm not mistaken, if we look at our current president elect, the man went through a whole election and he was popularly elected and he will be inaugurated. That's an elected position. Apostleship is not an election. It's a calling. It's God's appointment. Paul said God separated him from his mother's womb to be an apostle, okay? So we can go with recognition, and I recognize that God is moving you into the apostleship. I have people that I've recognized that on. That title, apostle elect, is errant. It might be something that we did because it was like we wanted to let people know that they were going to be whatever, but apostleship is not an elected position. None of the fivefold are elected positions. The supports are elected. For example, they elected deacons. You know, they said choose somebody, you know, from among you, okay, and then lay your hands on them and whatever. But apostleship is an appointed position. As a matter of fact, the only apostle that was not directly appointed by Jesus Christ is Matthias. And guess what? He was in none of the trainings. He was in none of the anything. And the apostles put their hands on him. But yet when God found Paul, it was a calling. So you are part of an apostle by ordination, divine appointment, not by public election.
Okay. Really good. Okay. Question on Facebook. Man, sometimes I want to say a thing. Is it necessary to be a part of an apostolic network as a ministry leader?
I would say yes, simply because that being out there by yourself is dangerous. God makes sure that every sheep has a shepherd and that every member of the body has a body to be a member of. So that's my first thing. Secondly, my second reason for it is that we don't recognize how vicious this world has become. And since God is leading now with apostleship, for some very, very essential, vital reasons, yeah, you do need to be connected with someone who has that level of access with God, classification, the power push, etc. One of the things that I was excited about when I studied apostleship was how one definition, one of the commentators, I believe it was, I want to say it's, if I'm right, I don't want to go wrong, but I want to say that it was Barnes, I could be wrong, but he said that apostles were endowed with proprietary miracle signs and wonders. There's a proprietary resource and reserve for apostles that God reserves for them, even though many of the things that they do, he does in another capacity. But you do need somebody who's going to come and praying for you, somebody who's interceding. Why? Because all those other institutions of the world have it. We saw that in this election.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Well, and to make a plug for your materials on your on your Teachable site, you have Spirits of Apostleship. It's a three-part training that they can go and purchase and enroll in, where you actually explain this, faculty or plenipotentiary and some of those other things on apostleship.
Yes, yes. And may I suggest that all of you go and dig into them. And while we're on it, go to my site, Dr. Paula A. Price. Don't forget the A, DrPaulaAPrice.com. and dig into that material. I have an abundance of apostolic information and content there. There's a lot of wisdom even in this book. May I suggest that you get your copy of ABCs of Apostleship, Book 2, Discipling Apostolic Christian. If you want to get a well-rounded apostolic or theology on apostleship, there is no better book than this. This is Before the Garden, and it really is a well-rounded, no joke, theology, because we don't have a comprehensive theology. Much of what we call information on the apostolic is based on a modern day or the modern apostles' experience, trial and error, and discovery. You know, they kind of find it out. This is not that. This comes strictly from Scripture, and it talks about it. We talk about apostles and wisdom. There's a section in here that says angel, the Almighty's first point of contact. We talk about angels were the first to occupy God's ecclesial offices. Did you know that? I didn't either until I figured it out. All right? And then, well, it's the truth. I didn't know, you know. We talk about the devil as the principal character in the continuum. Hell, Satan's banishment, those issues that make up the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we don't know them, they're here in a very intelligent, articulate, comprehensive form. Now, some of you have this book, so you can post what you think of it and what it did for you. But this, and my daughter teaches it every Wednesday night, she does a book study with it. How about Apostles and God's Mystery? Okay, look at this. I got few minutes. Let me read this, because this is why I want you to get this book. You cannot be an apostle without understanding the theology. You've been trying to run on evangelical commentary, fundamental commentary, denominational commentaries, and none of them are giving you the power you want in God and that thing that pierces the darkness, because that's not your theology. Now, your theology is not to ignore that. Please, don't ignore it, but that is not your theology. So, and we got to the point, well, no, we don't use the word theology. I don't know what else to use, okay? Your Godology, do you like that? It still comes out the same. All right, the chief mystery the Lord divulges to his apostles is the mystery of the gospel. This is, you don't like this, this is page 254 of Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum. The Old Testament prophets received it predictively, while the New Testament apostles divulge it revelationally. Thus, the two mantles are reiterated as being the ones most suited to steward and propagate the continual. Their emphasis works to guard the purity of God's truth and the authenticity of his ministries. Persuaded apostles today answer best the questions regarding the mystery of Christ disseminated by his early apostles as they received it from Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul echoes this in Luke 24:44 and Acts 24:14 when defending the way of God that was then being called heresy by his opposers. Paul unfolded his gospel from the Old Testament prophets' writings, the ancient scrolls that Paul calls parchments in his letter to Timothy. They are where the risen Lord referred him to be equipped to carry his redemption to the Gentile world. 2 Timothy 4:13 firmly shows Paul's commitment to the prophecies and teachings that preceded him. You cannot have an apostolic doctrine without prophecies, without the prophets, the writings of the prophets, without the Old Testament. That is not it. There are a lot of people claiming apostleship, and you never touch the Old Testament. You cannot be comprehensive. You cannot be thorough, and you are probably not as accurate as you could be. So having said that, she gave me 90 seconds. I will see you Thursday for questions on the prophetic. Go to my website, drpaulaaprice.com. Get all of the information you need and pass this along. It makes a good lab class feature. Pass it along, pass it along, and pass it along. Until Thursday at 11 a.m. for the Paula Price Show, God bless you. Have a great week.